All right, let's go right into chapter 47, I guess. And I divided this into two divisions, actually. First one is the waters, verses 13 through 23, and the rest then is the dividing of the land. So afterward, he brought me again unto the door. Now, after he saw all of this, now, one thing I want us to remember, and it's good to always bring this to our attention, this is a vision. Keep that in our mind as we study this. So his body was at the river Kibar, and his spirit was in Jerusalem. And he brought me into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from the right side of the house at the east, at the south side of the altar. So the waters now started in the house. This is the presence of God, isn't it? This is the meeting place of God. It didn't start at the altar, but it flowed past the altar on the south side. And as it flowed, it got deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper till it became a river. First, it started with simply waters. Then it became a river. Kind of reminds us of the 38th Psalm, doesn't it? Or the 36th Psalm, I'm sorry. 36th Psalm. Read, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. This is surely the river of his pleasure. Somebody read for me the 46th Psalm, verse 4. And I think in this we can see the blessings of God by the ministry of the Holy Spirit bringing joy and life abundantly to the hearts of people. The 46th Psalm, verse 4. So what we're seeing, the purpose is to make glad the city of God, isn't it? That's the overall purpose of the stream. And God has given us a river. Jesus one day on the great day of the feast stood up and said, whosoever drinketh of me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then he said he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Look up Isaiah 33:21. That's another good verse. And somebody else, look up Isaiah 8:6. These are all talking about the blessings of God flowing out of the presence of God into a people that will love the Lord at that time. Isaiah 33:21. Somebody find that? I'm going to look up 8:6, I think.
But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall galleon ship pass thereby.
See, there won't be any enemy coming in this river. That's a galleon with oars. There won't be any wars. See, no destruction. But it's going to be a river of blessing. Then in the 8th chapter, and he shall go through Judah and shall overflow. Now here, we're talking about the overflow. Well, let's go ahead and read it. Upon them, the waters of the river, strong, and many of the king of Assyria. Now, here we had the enemy coming in like a flood. The king of Assyria, like the waters of a river. Well, this won't be anymore. And the reason now, see, the reason that they did is because they rejected Shiloh, verse 6. For as much as this people refused the waters of Shiloh, they refused their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that goes softly. But instead, they rejoiced in their enemy. Now here's the river, here's the flowing down of the very love, the presence, the working, the Spirit of God upon these people. And it got deeper and deeper and deeper as it went along. Reminds us of that song. I woke up, I must have been thinking about this lesson last night in my sleep, I don't know. But I woke up with this song on my mind, and I wish I could sing, I'd sing it to you. Go deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. Daily let me go higher, higher in the school of wisdom, all his grace to know. Deeper let me pray. Higher every day, wiser, blessed Lord, in his blessed holy word. Is that right? That's what you, I think that's right. But oh, this should be the joy of our heart, cry of our heart, to go deeper, deeper, deeper into the things of God. The mystery that we have here in our vision is the farther away from the temple, the deeper it becomes. You say, well, should that be so? Yes, it should be. Because as we go on with the Lord, we're not really going away from him, because he is all in all. But the fact that we're going out into the things of the Spirit, and letting the Spirit operate and move in our life. And so the truth here, I believe, in all this, is walking with the Lord and getting into his word. As he got into it, it went into his ankle. Another 1,000, he got into it with his knees. And he got into it to his hips. Then the next thing you know, he was swimming in the things of God. Well, somebody says, can we take this literal? Yes. Yes, there's going to be a literal river here, and it's going to be a mystery. Nobody will really know where it comes from. Isn't that the way the things of God? Nobody knows where it comes from. It's going to come out of the throne room. And so is God's things to us. We might compare this with the New Jerusalem. Now, I might say this, that this, the city now, and we'll look at it a little closer later on, but it's going to be altogether different. Nothing at all like Jerusalem had ever been. It's going to be laid out in a square when it gets through. It's going to be destroyed during the tribulation. And so is the New Jerusalem. It's laid out in a square. But the New Jerusalem is symbolic. It's made up of people. Well, the earthly Jerusalem will be made up of bricks and stones and so forth. But in the New Jerusalem, there's one river in it, and it flows. Well, 22nd chapter of Revelation. We'll just turn over and look at it, will we? Over here. Verse 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. Notice what this river is now. It's water of life. So will the other be in a measure. The only difference is the spiritual, the other one is physical. Clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. And in the midst of the river, the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielding her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nation. Now this is real similar, except this is in a spiritual sense. Here we have one river, one street. People talk about the streets of gold. It's not streets, it's street. One street speaks of the motivation of God as oneness and the deity of God. There's one river and one tree, but notice there's trees on both sides of the river at the same time. And this one tree is called the tree of life and will produce healing for the nations out of the heavenly city that will come down out of God as a bride adorned for her husband. This will be similar to that, except there's going to be literal water come out of this. The other is the water of life. This will be flow down, and just like we read of here. Then let's drop down to verse 6. I don't think I'm leaving anything out of there. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? That's a good question, isn't it? Do you understand what we're talking about? Lost my place. Oh, verse 6. Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And when I returned, behold, at the bank of the river, there were many trees. I wonder why I didn't see those trees before. Remember, this is a vision. But there were many trees. Now, the New Jerusalem just had one tree, didn't it? Here we have many trees. On the one side and on the other, on both sides of the river, so the river it will be lined with trees. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. Now, it'll come out of Jerusalem. If you look at your map, Jerusalem is almost parallel with the northern top of the Dead Sea. It's just a little bit to the south in most maps. And this water will flow eastward and enter into the Dead Sea toward the top. There's a little cove up in there, according to my maps, it was. And that water, this river will enter into it. And when it does, the Dead Sea won't be a Dead Sea anymore. It'll be a living sea. You can't pour living water into a Dead Sea and still have a Dead Sea. It's like Jesus poured living water into us and we weren't dead anymore. He quickened us, didn't he? Ephesians chapter 2. And so the waters were healed and they became productive, we read. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whether soever the river shall come, shall live. It's a life-giving river, isn't it? And there shall be a very multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, and they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whether the river cometh. See, it's not a Dead Sea anymore. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Enjedi even unto Gileam. And there shall be a place to spread forth nets, and fish shall be according to their kind as the fish of the great sea exceedeth many. Now, the Great Sea is the Mediterranean. So it's comparing this, then, with the Mediterranean Sea. How glad the fishermen will be. And how glad we are as fishermen of God's things that God provides living water. We know exactly where Enjedi is. It's on most of your maps. It's about in the center of the Salt Sea, and on the west side. There is a little dispute on where Gileam is. In Isaiah, I'm trying to think of where that is. Anyway, it mentions that Gileam is in Moab. Again, it should come by mind. 15th chapter. 15th chapter of Isaiah. Somebody read that for me. Verse 8.
For the cry is gone round about the borders of Moab, the howling thereof unto Engilam, and the howling thereof unto Beryl.
See, that's the same city, I think, except it leaves the first N off, doesn't it? The word Enjedi means the kid of the springs, I believe it is. The kid of the fountains, I'm sorry. The kid of the fountains. One has it, the kid of the hot springs. One, I believe it did. I looked up a long time ago. But En Gileam means the fountain of two kids. Two goats, two calves. I'm sorry, I'll get it right in a minute. A fountain of two calves. And both of these have the thought of a flowing, of a fountain. Glorious place, a place of reproduction. And it'll be equal with the Mediterranean as far as the fish is concerned. Then we have in verse 11, a miry place thereof, and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. Well, everything isn't going to be healed, is it? I believe this has a twofold meaning. One is for the purpose of remembrance. And the other one, then we read it, they shall be given to salt. It'd be good if you spent some time studying about salt in the scriptures. It's in a good sense and it's in a bad sense. Salt is needed, isn't it? Salt was used in the sacrifices. Leviticus 2:13, in the 43rd chapter of Ezekiel, verse 24, and they shall offer them before the Lord, and the priest shall cast salt upon them, and they shall offer them up for a burnt offering unto the Lord. So this salt was used for offering purposes. So you study this on your own. I'll give you some other scriptures that are interesting in that. Numbers 18:19. Read that. Matthew 5:12. Mark 9:49. Colossians 4:6. All of these are pertaining to the need of salt, and salt is needful. So all of it isn't changed. God will leave that which he, there will be a healing of everything else, type of Christ. Christ is our food. So salt is for food, isn't it? It makes food taste better. Salt is unchangeable. If it's salty at all, it tastes like salt and anything else. There's nothing compared to it, is there? Christ is unchangeable. There is always plenty of salt. There's never a lack of salt. So it is with Christ. So Christ is all in all. Let's go on down. And by the river, and by the bank thereof, on this side and that, there shall be grow trees for the food, whose leaves shall not fail. Jesus will never fail. Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. Jesus is never consumed. He's always the same. He'll never fade. There shall bring forth new fruit. Every day in Jesus is a new day. It's a new experience. It's a new life. According to his months, everything is according to God's timing, according to his purpose. But he's always on time with just exactly what we need for then. So will he be to these. And why? Because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for food, and the leaves for medicine, or for healing. Similar to what we read in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, wasn't it? All right, now in the next division, we go into the dividing the land, and it'll be divided according to the 12 tribes of Israel. So there will be 12 tribes. Actually, this land will be divided into 13 sections, and we'll read out pretty soon. Then he goes to the trouble of bringing to our remembrance that Joseph shall have a double portion. That's Ephraim and Manasseh. He'll have twice as much as the rest. And ye shall inherit it one as well as the other. In other words, no partiality. Now, if you look at your maps concerning the layout of Israel when they were divided in the book of Joshua, it was divided according to their conquering, wasn't it? It was divided according to as they took the land. But here it will not be so. This will be divided according equally to each other. It will be what, and well, let's go on and read some more. In verse 15, we have the north boundary. And the only one of these that we really recognize is Hamath in verse 16 and the border of Damascus. You might look up these for yourself, but this takes in about, it goes about halfway through the nation Syria as we know it today. God promised that their land would be from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt. And this land belongs to them. But it's going to be equally divided. The east and the west border of this land will be the waters. On the west border will be the Mediterranean Sea. On the east border up to the Sea of Galilee will be the Jordan. But then it goes, if it goes by Damascus, this means that it has to swing way to the right. Well, if you'll notice on your map, so does the coastline of the Mediterranean begins to swing to the right at that time. So what we have is a parallel line from Syria down to Kadesh Barnea, or to the river of Egypt, which is the Brook of Egypt, actually, I think in your map, which would be down in the wilderness of Zin. And so this is the land that God promised Abraham to start with. They've never had this land before, but God is going to give it to them. But the east and west borders will be almost parallel lines. They'll kind of swing on a arc like that. And then the south border, you can read that and figure it out in your... Then in the next chapter, we'll see how these are laid out. Verse 22, and it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot to an inheritance unto you. So this will be divided by lot. God will show them where to... Now, it was divided by lot before, and Joshua showed them where to make the boundaries. But this is all laid out beforehand, all equally divided in square area. But how about the guests that come and the strangers, people that aren't Jews? This is one of the great conflicts over in that area now, isn't it? There's people living in some of this area that aren't Jews. Well, what'll happen to them? Well, if they sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country. Oh, this is, the Jews ought to read this, shouldn't they? They wouldn't have as much conflict with the Palestinians. See, among the children of Israel, they shall have inheritance with you, or among with the tribes of Israel. They'll not be Jews, but they can have an inheritance if they live there. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourn, there shall ye give to him an inheritance, saith the Lord God.